Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in to Starseed Energy Radio. We can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time to hear the colors and see the music. That was a sample off of DJ Scalar's new mix, Starseed Mix. It's downloadable for free at Starseed Energy Radio, so check that out. It's an hour mix, and we'll be playing a couple samples from that mix throughout the show tonight. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, June 10, 2011. And joining me tonight on the show, we have a great guest, August Worley. He's a tone therapist, Reiki master, gifted musician. He's recently combined his engineering skills to bring forth a healing music and holistic therapy product, which we're going to talk about tonight, called The Paradigm. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Tonight's show's focus is going to go over a little bit of everything. Last week we focused on more freedom, and tonight I'm going to drop the bomb news. This is something I've just been researching and finding out myself this last week, and I'm still having a hard time digesting this information, but I'll get into that in a second. And coming up on the show, just want to make a quick announcement for next week. We have John Lucas coming on the show, and this is going to be one of the best shows yet because any physical pain instantly will be deleted live on the air. If you have pain from car accident, back pain, fibromyalgia, anything like that, you have to be in physical pain. Call into the show or email us and we'll call you. The number is 888-815-9756 is the call-in number, or you can email me through the website, Starseed Energy Radio. If you have a loved one or you know anyone in any type of pain, please have them call in. This is going to be the night. We're trying to do 13 people to heal. John usually takes between a minute or two, and it's just an awesome, awesome experience. Some of his treatments go from anywhere from $300 up to $30,000, and he can clear anything, any type of physical pain. So, again, any type of physical pain, this is the show to be healed, and it's going to be live. It's going to be awesome, so check it out. Now, into the breaking news. Well, breaking news for me. Talking about the chemtrails, this is something we've been talking about for a long time. And one of the things I found out that is in the chemtrails this week, I watched a YouTube video that was titled Proof of Morgellons Fibers in Chemtrails. So I was like, what's a Morgellons fiber? Well, as I did more research and more research, I found a group of researchers and scientists from the Morgellon Research Group that have tons of information. And basically what this is, it's a nano-sized organism that is falling from the chemtrails that they're spraying. And they did tests on all different adults and also children that all tested positive for these same fibers. And the fibers themselves respond to frequencies, electromagnetic ones, and they do a whole lot of other things. Now, these are genetically engineered nano robots, if you want to call them, but they're basically nanofibers. You could breathe them in. And if you Google specks of glitter from people's skin or something like that, you will see a ton of articles. Now, this is a phenomenon that's going on not just here but all around the world. A number of people all across the country are reporting instances where they're discovering tiny little specks of glitter coming from their skin. And so far, all the people reporting these tiny crystals are also afflicted with what we've now known as Morgellons mutation, which is a Morgellons disease. So it's just odd that all these people with their glitter coming out of the skin happen to have this nano-sized organism. Now, some of these nano-organisms are actually, they found with letters and numbers on them and patent numbers. And doing research, you could actually pull up some of these patents online from the 70s and 80s from the government websites, from different biological scientists that have worked in these different projects and stuff. And it's scary stuff. Basically, some of the current research that's going on these hexagonal crystal-like artifacts, whatever you want to call them, some of the areas that they're including in is protein crystals that form within the human body, crystal biosensors, RFID chips, photonic crystals, electromagnetic fields, scalar weapons, fiber optic nanoprobes, silicon wafers, silicon potomic nanostructures, liquid crystalline, and probably the most interesting so far is crystals which are replacing antibodies. Now, these actual man-made crystals are replacing your antibodies instead of white blood cells, and they're actually morphing. Now, you have to check this stuff out. I can go into this. We're actually going to have some of the research and scientists. I'm going to have them on the show within about a month or so to talk about this and talk about the research. But some of the stuff to check out in the meantime is aircraft.org, morgellonsresearchgroup.com. There's a DVD. There's a lot of YouTube videos like What in the World Are They Spraying? Or check out globalskywatch.com, stopsprayingcalifornia.com. That's an awesome site, tons of information on that. I mean, you could find CIA directors, you know, from LA and all other YouTube videos that are speaking out about this. You know, CIA directors that were in the CIA just a few years ago speaking out about this. So this is a real threat, and it's a real problem, and some of the things they're doing are just inconceivable. Now, with all that being said, There have been tests with frequency generators, such as a Rife frequency generator, that have been effective in zapping nanotubes, chips, or anything else nanonature in the body. Now, in terms of a quantum approach, obviously, we can use our own vibrations. And that is the most powerful device of them all. Our mind is an incredible healing instrument, and it produces its own natural frequencies. So really, all you have to do is put the intent out there, say the affirmations, and clear your body, and that will do it. Amazing as it is, that will work. So check out those websites. Check out some of this research. We're gonna touch this issue again later on the show, and also have these guys on about a month or so to talk about these nanofibers and get more into it, because I'm just learning about this stuff myself, so I have a lot more research to do, and then I'll bring it to you in a month's time or so. Also, other breaking news, and this is I don't know why – well, I know why you don't see this in the mainstream media, but this is huge news. A research group in Canada has proven that the Old Testament has been massively mistranslated. Now, what this group is saying is they've done 3 years of research, and what they've uncovered is the system of – the actual system of translating Hebrew. What they discovered is that the Hebrew language, the actual letters are not letters. They're actual words. So the translations that have been translating all these years have been interpreted wrong. Now, just to read you a little bit more of the actual findings of it, the head scientist also added that the form of this language shows it could not have evolved from surrounding cultures, as it is incapable of importing words from outside language. This alone points to an origination outside of the scope of the presently held theories of language development. These findings could have a major impact on how science and religion look at our beginnings. Yeah, wow. So, the interpretations for all these years have been interpreted wrong. That is big news. And this system and what they have here, if you read the article, it proves without a doubt that this is the way it is. And it also proves that there's no way a complex language system could have developed here on Earth. So, awesome article. Google it. It'll also be up on the website. Now to go back into the organic foods being illegal, and this is a big, big topic. We're going to be talking about this in the months to come, I'm sure, and I know I'm going to pop some Zen bubbles, and I'm going to be a Zen buster by saying this, but Whole Foods, and this is the article headline, admits its organic foods contain genetically modified ingredients. A representative for the corporation acknowledged in May of 2011 that the realities of the marketplace have forced a shift in the company's previous no GMOs policy. So that's it. They are using GMOs, and now Whole Foods owns Green Life. So all the organic people out there thinking they're eating organic food, sorry to bust the Zen bubble, but Whole Foods openly admits they are using GMOs in their food, and probably all their food. And on top of that, the government also passed a law where they don't have to label the GMOs or put, if they even add GMOs, on the labeling. In spite of public skepticism about the GMO foods, the FDA has backed Monsanto and other corporations, declaring that modified foods do not require special labeling, letting consumers know they're eating Frankenfoods, genetically modified foods. Excellent. So talking about this bill, what is this bill? The bill is called S-510 bill. Now, if you read the full bill, which I looked at it, it's 107 pages, just to condense it, what it basically says this bill, if it's passed, is legally binds state agriculture departments to enforcing federal guidelines, effectively taking away the state's power to do anything other than being food police for the federal department. Effectively criminalizes organic farming, but doesn't actually use the word organic. It affects anyone growing food, even if they are not selling it, but consuming it. You can't even grow food on your own property. Affects anyone producing meat of any kind, including wild game. You can no longer hunt on your property. Legislation is so broad, based that every aspect of growing or producing food can be made illegal. There are no specifications, which is bizarre considering how long the legislation is. Section 103 is almost entirely about the administration aspect of the legislation. It will allow appointing of officials from the factory farming corporations and lobbyists and classify them as experts and allow them to determine and interpret the legislation. That's just great. putting corporate execs in charge of our food and lobbyists and having them make decisions. So it goes on and on. You read section 206, the great section 207. I'm going to breeze through this because I have a lot of news to report on tonight. Also, what it means is that you can no longer pick an apple for your tree and give it to your neighbor. You can no longer grow your own food. You can no longer sell your own food. You can no longer do pretty much anything if it has to do with food or even wild game. Now, to me, this is a huge story, and I don't understand why there's not protests in the street. And just to give you an example of from what I have seen as the quote-unquote spiritual Zen bubble, especially here in Nashville, is perfect example. I talked to one of the largest self-sustainable groups. I talked to the head office in New York City this week. And the top executive for this group, I was talking to her about what I'm doing and da-da-da. And I said, you know, it's crazy about this S-510 bill that they're trying to pass. And she's like, what's that? And I was like, well, it's a bill they're trying to pass to make growing food or, you know, growing organic food illegal. And her response was, that's ridiculous. That will never happen. The people will never let it happen, especially people around here. My family and friends around here, oh, they'll never let it happen. That's the response, and that's the response generally with everybody. Everyone thinks it's going to be someone else's job to do something, and no one's doing anything. This bill did pass through the Senate last week. It has one more vote. If it gets one more vote and goes through, it becomes law, and I don't understand why there's not protests or anything out. It's real. Check it out. It's called Bill S-510. Google it. Learn about it and do something about it. Sign a petition or something. Talk about it. You need to be aware of this stuff. All these self-sustainable groups and all these organic and permaculturists, if this gets passed, they're going to tell you what you have to put in your food. And when they demand that it's a food crisis, like we've been talking about in the show, who do you think they're going to take the food from? You. And when they come back next month and there's not as much fruit or whatever, who do you think they're going to blame it on and take in and do something with? You. Because it's law. And this is real law that's being passed amongst all other laws that we'll get into in a minute. Now, this is a really cool article that I found. This is a new decentralized currency that's stimulating underground barter economy. And basically, it's a new grassroots cyber currency. It's called the Bitcoin. And basically what it may provide is the perfect vehicle to operate outside the establishment economy and snub all the powerful banking cartels. It's decentralized, it's quasi-anonymous, and its supply is regulated by an algorithm to actually create deflation over time. Awesome. The Bitcoin, check it out. Now this article, this is just crazy. The title of this article is "The Sheriff Who Sold His County." Now, I read tons of information on this week, and this is just straight RoboCop in our country here. As of January 1st, 2011, the Great Salt Lake City Valley, a once free land settled between the rugged Rocky and Sierra Nevada mountain ranges, the country's last firewall protection from outside influence has been extinguished. What I mean is a sheriff who is the law of the land. A sheriff is the only person in a state that is above the government, above a police officer or a state trooper or anything like that. So a gentleman bought himself an election in Salt Lake City County in the Sheriff's Department, and as of January 1st, 2001, he was elected. Now what this person did, he's responsible for a private company that he calls the Unified Police Department of Greater Salt Lake City, or the Unified Police Department for short. Now, basically, this is a private company, the Unified Police Department, that became the new police force for all municipal corporations and cities and all unincorporated areas within the county of Salt Lake City, thereby dissolving the only true lawful protective body within the county, the elected sheriff's department. So he came in, he opened up a corporation, closed down all the police departments, and opened up his own police department called the UPD, the Unified Police Department. This is straight out of the movie RoboCop, and it's going on, and this is not the only county. To add to the treasonous nature of this takeover of Salt Lake City County, this elective sheriff was then appointed as the CFO of the Unified Police Department by the city council. To clarify, the elected sheriff, Jim Winder, was appointed by the elected County Council to be the CEO of the private company called the Unified Police Department of Greater Salt Lake City. That is just grace. And it gets worse. Not only that, but when he became sheriff, he then enacted new dues. He sent a letter to everyone in the community, which is a 250,000 people, stating that they now owe $174 for your annual due fee. Now, they're still collecting all the other taxes in the county, and now they just incorporated a brand new tax without being passed by law, which is in direct against the Constitution. So he bought himself in, closed down the police departments, opened up a corporation with a new police department, which the corporation of the police department is actually handled by a California company that does all their paperwork. It's not even run by an entity in the same state. So what is this? It's a guy with money that bought himself a position of power, that bought himself a corporation and a private company that closed down the other police departments, and now has his own private police force, and they just bought a tank. If that's cool with people, then keep living in the 3D sheeple society, because that is not cool with me. And that is totally unconstitutional, totally unlawful, and something needs to be done about it. It's a mafia-style takeover in a county here, in one of the greatest ski resort towns in the country. It's just insane. That just blew my mind. It's corrupt. It's tyranny. It's mafia style, and it's going on here in the U.S., and there doesn't seem to be anyone stopping them. Going along to NASA's research this week, and we've talked about NASA a lot, this article really stuck out because the headline says, "New NASA research points to possible HARP connection in Japan earthquake and tsunami." I spoke about this about a month and a half ago. We know it's HARP because of the readings that all the other independent organizations picked up, the seismic activities and all the exact pinpoints of energy that were a buildup of 3 to 4 days before the quake and then stopped a few hours before the quake, a buildup of energy. So NASA, they recently did an article released by Dmitry, can't pronounce his last name, but Uzanov, and colleagues from the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. They highlight some strange atmospheric anomalies over Japan just days before the massive earthquake. Seemingly inexplicable and rapid heating of the ionosphere directly above the epicenter reached a maximum only 3 days prior to the quake, according to satellite observations, suggesting that direct energy emitted from transmitters used in the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, aka HARP, may have been responsible for inducing the quake. Wow. That was published in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. NASA came out with that. Check it out. Awesome article. Another article. FDA sends U.S. Marshals to seize elderberry juice concentrate, deems it unapproved drug. This stuck out because I was like, well, what's elderberry juice? Come to find out, elderberry juice cures a lot of things, including cancer. So basically what the FDA is now doing is cracking down on stuff like this. What they'll do is what they did to these people is they sent them a letter saying they have to change this, change that, and they just keep pushing regulations on them until they find something that they don't abide by, and then they come in and they raided this place. So they've been in business for something years. They did everything the FDA told them, the owners of the store, if you read the article, talks all about it, and they basically busted in there, came in just for selling stuff to help cure people. That's our government. If you want cures for cancer and stuff like that, it's out there. Check educate-yourself.org. Cure for cancer is on there. Check it out. Also, I'm sure you heard about this in the main news, and I heard about this about a week or so ago. Facebook has been facial recognition, recognizing people. Facial recognition has been turned on in Facebook, meaning that every time you have put a scan picture, uploaded a picture into Facebook, they have been scanning it, saving the person's face information in its own Facebook database. Now, this week, Facebook came out with an article saying Facebook quietly switches on facial recognition tech by default. Well, the article came out, I read it last week, where someone found out about this because someone had said something, and then they came out with the article. So they got busted and then put out an article that says, oh, well, we got busted. You know, it was an accident, it was by default. So, you know, no big deal. But it is a big deal. Since last December, every single person that's on Facebook has been not only facial recognized scan, but saved in their database, and all your friends, all your pictures, everybody. And if you read the article, they openly admit it. They even announced it last year that they were going to do it, and they said they were going to tell the public before they did it, but they didn't. They accidentally switched it on. Now, why do you think Facebook is saving people's pictures and labeling everybody? Sounds like some Gestapo Roundup stuff. I don't know. Check it out. Another article, chemical warfare. The DEA wants to crash your favorite party. This is just crazy. This is a law that was passed a while back in 1986 that was reenacted with the RAVE Act. The 1986 crack house laws have now been addended with the RAVE Act. The RAVE Act basically states that any promoters or party promoters that are seen promoting a quote-unquote rave or party can be arrested, and not just arrested but charged with all sorts of charges just for having things like glow sticks, pacifiers, massage tables, and bottled water on the premises. That's right. You could be arrested for having a bottle of water in the state of Florida for being at a party that's outdoors or anywhere if the police feel that you're a raver or you're doing something unlawful. There is now a law that's in law as of January 2000, and this is just something I found out from a friend in Florida. Crazy stuff. These are the kind of laws that me and CyberPixie were just talking about last week, our freedoms. Let me give you some more headliners about freedoms. Detained for photography in Baltimore. This was a kid who was taking a train, who got off the train and stopped in Baltimore and started taking pictures of buildings and whatnot, and the cops came up. I saw the YouTube video that said, you cannot take pictures. It's against the law to take pictures of the trains, and arrested him. Here's another headliner from Orlando. Three arrested and accused of illegally feeding the homeless. That's right. Feeding the homeless. Arrested. Orlando police say they violated a city ordinance restricting the feedings. You can't feed the homeless anymore. Here's another one. Miami Beach police ordered videographer at gunpoint to hand over the phone. Saw the YouTube video on this one. This happened on South Beach. Basically, they filmed the cops gunning down this guy, and then the cops realized they were filming it, turned the guns on him and his girlfriend, and told him to get the F out with guns drawn and smash his camera phone. Luckily, he still had the chip in it, and that's what made it to YouTube. But there's another article for you. Here's another one. Senators want to put people in jail for embedding YouTube videos. Check out this law that's trying to be passed. Section 506A of the Copyright Act of Public Performance Rights. You ready for this? Congress is trying to pass a YouTube video that basically says, if you embed a YouTube video that turns out to be infringing by our government standards, which would probably be every video on my show and every video on all of our shows in the spiritual community. If 10 people view it because of your link, you could be facing 5 years in jail. That is going through Congress right now. A few weeks back, we noted this. It's going through. Check it out. Another one real quick. House passes authority bill for worldwide war. Another bill that was passed. The House just passed the National Defense Authorization Act, called the NDAA. It's basically including a provision to authorize worldwide war, which has no expiration date and will allow this president, Obama, and any future president to go to war anywhere in the world at any time without further congressional authorization. The new authorization wouldn't even require the president to show any threat to the national security of the United States. The American military could become the world's cop and could be sent into harm's way almost anywhere and everywhere around the globe. And this passed through Congress. Silence in the face of deception is consent. We go over this because enlightenment is to be aware of everything around you. And if you're not aware of the world around you, you cannot send your light and love and send your positive frequencies and vibrations to this stuff. It's not you're focusing your negative energy. People say, oh, don't give it energy, don't give it. No. You have to give it your love and your light and your energy. I'm not giving it negative energy. This is the stuff that you know the times are here and the time is now and the changes are among us. All this stuff wouldn't be flying through Congress. There, all this freedom cracking down and all this stuff, it's happening and it's happening now. So to be aware is to be alive. And with that, that is the news and current events. And after this next sample from DJ Scalar, joining us is August Worley. So sit back, relax, enjoy this next track, and we will be right back with August. Happy, 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 happy. And welcome back to the show. You're tuned to listen to Starseed Energy Radio, and joining me for the rest of the show is August Worley, who is a college professor and also an energetic healer, and he's also living here in the western North Carolina mountains. He's also an electric engineer and also the inventor of the Paradigm. And just to give you a little history of the Paradigm, the intention of this instrument is to function as a healing instrument, not as a musical instrument. It incorporates full-spectrum brain entertainment techniques using light as well as sound, something musical instruments or other sound therapy devices don't, and at the same time providing a physioacoustic stimulation designed to resonate the human body, all in a beautiful enclosure that's extremely easy to use. And joining us now to talk about some real sound is August. How you doing, August?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So getting into your degree of electrical engineer, and you have a minor in performing music composition, and then you began working in 1980 in the professional electronics career working with the Moog Foundation. Can you tell us what started that and how was that?
Yeah, actually that was up in Buffalo. I'm originally from Western New York, and I worked for Moog Music for 5 years right out of college. And it was a very heady time. you know, one of the few American synthesizer manufacturers at that time. So there was a lot of interesting things going on up there. It's always been part of my mission, if you will, that I always wanted to do something involving sound and electronics. You know, I never wanted to build guidance systems or any of the other kind of stuff. You know, I always wanted to be able to go home at night and not, you know, with a clear conscience that I didn't facilitate in somebody losing their life that day.
Sure. So you worked for 5 years through 1980. Now, in 2002, you moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and then you worked with the legendary synthesizer Dr. Robert Moog in developing his latest keyboard, the Mini Moog. How was that working with him, and tell us about the Mini Moog?
Well, you know, that was the second version of the Mini Moog. It was the Mini Moog Voyager, which was sort of like the old original Mini Moog from the 60s on steroids. Had a lot more sound capability. And, yeah, working with Bob was great. You know, it was probably the hardest job I've ever loved in terms of, you know, we were always facing deadlines and crunch times and just, you know, doing it by the skin of our teeth with not a whole lot of R&D bucks to put behind it, but we managed to pull it off, and they're still in production today.
Can you tell us any funny stories or anything about you know, Dr. Moog, for Dr. Bob, for any of the hardcore listeners out there? Any funny stories of you and him or anything like that?
Well, we have a limited amount of time. Working with Bob was always a treat. I mean, you know, he would just wander in and you'd mention something, and he'd kind of go off on some little tangent, and you know, then you find out he was involved with some of these very esoteric concepts that you'd only actually read about. He was. I still have his business card. When I started working for him or with him, he hadn't quite regained the rights to the use of Moog Music. And the company was called Big Briar at the time. And I still have his card, and it says Big Briar, and under his name it says Grand Poobah.
Awesome.
And he was. There was very little that went on in the electronic music industry that didn't pass scrutiny and approval by Bob, it seemed. He definitely did oversee the proceedings of the Loyal Order of the Water Buffalo.
Nice. Now, working with these different sounds and electronics, when did you first notice, feel vibrations for the first time and notice that it was something more than just sound?
Well, I'm trained as a musician. I've always been intrigued as to, you know, how music can make you feel in the way that it can, you know, and the way that you bring about that feeling. So, and I guess I've always been aware that sound as music has a healing aspect to it as well as a transcendental aspect to it when you appropriately organize it. And that led me to study composition and arranging, And I'd also been studying meditation at the time, which led me to study toning as a way of achieving a more transcendental state of awareness. And then I began to develop and expand my intuitive abilities as a result of that practice. It all came together in the form of Paradigm as a cohesive concept back in August of 2003. I actually had a vision of the Paradigm instrument, which presented to me as a small glowing pyramidal object. It created the most wonderfully warm and somewhat reminiscent tone, accompanied by a physical vibration. And it was a very profound experience, to say the least, and it stayed with me for months afterwards. And I continue to remember the special feeling of peace and divine connection that I had when I was in the presence of the pyramid instrument, and was subsequently guided that I should use my expertise as an electronic sound product design engineer to build one similar to the object I saw. So I guess you could say it was almost an organic process of combining my learned skills with my intuitive abilities, and I believe that's pretty much how most concepts become a reality. I mean, you know, every new technology starts out as a concept.
Yeah, and just for personal, for me, the first time was maybe like 4 years ago. I went on a yoga meditation retreat, and we were meditating, and they hit the gong, and I had never even, I've heard them on TV, but I was actually like 10 feet, and I actually felt a vibration, and I had never felt like that before. It did something to me, like awakened me or something, and that was the first time where I really felt that music did something. There was something there, and that took me on my whole journey. So when would you say you first were aware of like being enlightened or your mission, or was it around 2003, or were you always sort of tuned in to your spirituality?
I was always very spiritually aware and aware of concepts and ideas beyond, you know, that which people would, you know, would consider normal.
Sure.
I was a kid that was always getting kicked out of the religious instruction class for asking all the hard questions that the nuns didn't want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a very inquisitive person and always was interested in, beyond what I could see and touch. I remember being very aware of shape and the power of shape. For example, when I was very little, and as we all are, I was just more tuned into it. And it's funny that you're talking about the gong experience, because, you know, right there, it's a common misperception that we perceive sound solely by listening to it. We actually feel sound. Our entire body is a means of accepting and integrating sound. So we don't just listen to sound, we feel sound as well.
And you can also see sound.
Sure. Well, you know, expressed it in a cymatic format. Definitely.
Absolutely.
So.
That's now the creation of the paradigm, how does it work? Like, how did you actually create it, and how does it work?
It wasn't a singularly expressed to me in a completed fashion. It was more the concept that expressed to me, and I just sort of replicated it as best I could with the components at hand. In my vision quest experience, Paradigm was very much a being. And so we did communicate at a very high level using sound and vibration. So it was it was a very profound experience. But I wanted to bring that into form for people to be able to use as an alternative to single tone, non-continuous tone sources such as singing bowls and other mechanical devices.
Gotcha.
You know, my thought is that there is always so much more sound that is accessible that is beyond what is available for the average non-musician. If you think about, okay, what am I going to use? Well, there's singing bowls and there's tuning forks, and those are a single tone. What about the tones in between the tones? I've always believed in the Frequency Bill of Rights that all frequencies are created equal, and they don't need to be tuned as a musical instrument. Mm-hmm. Musical instruments are designed to play with other musical instruments. They're not designed to resonate the human body specifically, whereas Paradigm is.
Now, what exactly is the Paradigm's crystal particle fountain?
Okay, well, that actually ties into the geometry of the instrument, which is a 52-degree pyramid. It's a scale model of the Great Pyramid, and akin to the King's Chamber, there's a focus point, there's a collection point at the sarcophagus of the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid, and correspondingly with Paradigm, there's a printed circuit board at that same critical point that is collecting the energy from that geometric shape and focusing it. And what's inside underneath the crystal capstone of Paradigm is a little bit of, there's another crystal under there. So now we're coalescing the energy and collecting it, and the other crystal underneath the capstone helps to move the energy up and through the quartz crystal, which expands it back into space and amplifies it. That's what quartz does. So there's all sorts of sacred geometry and Reiki symbology embedded right into the printed circuit board to create a sacred space within the Paradigm instrument itself. So it's a tool of intention beyond just being a sound, light, and physioacoustic instrument.
And you could actually, I've experienced a Paradigm, and I'll talk about that in a minute. You can actually tune in and change the frequencies and do all different things with it, besides healing as well. And what are some of people's experiences that you've encountered from being around or using the Paradigm?
Well, one of the things that it does is when you put the headphones on, the best way of experiencing it is through a pair of headphones while you're feeling the vibration from the instrument. But there is an entrainment process that occurs from hearing and feeling the instrument while it's doing its thing. What it does is it helps to shift you into your more intuitive space. And so in other words, it's a repetitive sound form, which your left brain perceives as not very exciting. So it's unlike music. When you're listening to music, your left brain is very active in perceiving the music. You know, do I like this? Do I like that? How do I like this sound? How does this compare with music I've heard in the past? Well, with Paradigm, as it is a repetitive sound figure, your left brain listens to it for a little while and doesn't really, you know, there's really nothing much here for me to stick around for. So your left brain tends to repress, and your right brain tends to step forward, which is your intuitive part of your brain. And that's usually the complaint of most people who have difficulty in meditating, is that they can't turn off that left brain chatter.
Yeah.
You know, you try to meditate, and you're thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow, and what am I going to have for lunch, and what time am I supposed to meet this person. Well, if you can suppress that, as Paradigm does, it allows you to slip into a deep meditative state and into the theta delta brain states, which is where the deepest healing occurs and also where you get your own insights and your own communications. I've had people report that they've been trying to contact their spirit guides for decades and were finally able to do it with their Paradigm session.
Wow. Now, you also do seminars and workshops, and you travel around the country and other places. How do you like pick where to go or what to do, and what are those workshops and seminars mainly for? Just for people
well,
to experience the Paradigm?
Yeah, I go where they send me.
There you go. You go where you're called.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, I go where I need to go. I present it where I need to present it. I was sort of told by several intuitive people that I'm going to be traveling around as a sort of sound prophet, if you will, trying to raise the awareness of not only this instrument, but how we perceive sound and what its significance as a means of transmitting emotion, as a means of healing as a means of getting in touch with one's higher self. So that's kind of what I do.
Now, you were just in a recent trip to New York, and you were out there, and how is New York City? How was that experience with the Paradigm? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, New York, New York was part of, I guess, the mission of going there, and you know, because New York is not only a cultural nexus, but also a communications nexus in terms of, you know, there's Madison Avenue and NBC and all that there. So more so than for the purposes of myself or for the Paradigm Instruments mission specifically, I was going there mainly to bring in a type of energy and a type of higher understanding that really hasn't been seen in that region in a while, and to sort of put it on the grid there so that it can be transmitted to
awesome.
All points.
Yeah, and I'll be in the city on the 18th next week to feel some of those energies, doing a Central Park solstice ceremony with Poncho on the 18th. Mm-hmm. And I just found out that the Central Park is the heart chakra of Manhattan. That was pretty interesting to me, that that's the exact point of where the heart chakra is. And
I'm glad I could go there and warm it up for you.
Yeah, there you go. I'm being called there too, so there must be some work that needs to be done out there for sure. And and speaking about like the Paradigm with the CD, because I have the CD of the Paradigm, tell us a little bit about the CD and how people can get that.
The CD is available on my website. It's www.paradym.com. It's PYRADYM. And actually, it's a snapshot of the sound capabilities of Paradigm. It's a chakra balancing program, if you will. There's a lot of energy imparted into the not only the sound program, but the disc itself. There's a lot of biogeometry engineered right into the actual CD that makes the CD a healing device on its own right. And also there is encoded into the CD tray clearing energies, not only to keep the CD itself energetically pure, but also to clear whatever you want to put on top of it, so you can actually use the CD tray as a healing plate, if you wish.
Yeah, that was something that I have used several times to clear stones with, so that's an awesome mm-hmm. extra little piece to the Paradigm. And speaking of the Paradigm, just for like my own personal thing, when I experienced it a few weeks ago, what I felt from it was, I would say about three or four of my chakras at that certain tone of the chakras, I felt like a half inch of like maybe like a particle ball or something. I don't know how to explain, like a mm-hmm. static. It's like a half inch of a static, like electricity, where my spine was. And I had never experienced or felt something like that ever in my life. And I felt and experienced that. So it's mm-hmm. definitely the real deal. And I actually used it last night. I did the Paradigm CD last night.
So I
do it almost every night, actually. It's honestly, to me, I call it liquid ecstasy. that's what I told Wendy. It's like liquid ecstasy. Okay. It's like the vibrations are just amazing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I want to encourage you to do is when you're in New York, go to the Metropolitan Museum and experience the Egyptian wing of that,
okay.
that fine museum. I went there. And actually, in Central Park, there's an obelisk there as well, an Egyptian obelisk that was actually brought over from... it was in Heliopolis originally, and then they took it to Alexandria, and now it's in Central Park. It's an actual Egyptian obelisk.
Oh,
but
wow.
When you go through the Egyptian wing of the museum, notice the level of layers that's in everything that the Egyptians did. And that's kind of the design ethic, if you will, that I carry forth in my work. And it wasn't a conscious thing, you know, where I'm going to emulate the Egyptians or anything like that. It's just something I noticed on this last visit, actually. But, you know, that's why the Paradigm CD has multiple layers of resonance of what its function is. Same thing with Paradigm. I mean, you know, Some people see it as a sound instrument. Some people see it as a physical vibration instrument. Some people see it as a light instrument. Some people see the crystals. Some people see the geometry. So it works on multiple levels. And so there's, you know, it's that Swiss Army knife design ethic.
And just to back that up, as I was telling you before when we spoke, I volunteer at the Light Center, you know, and I was there Saturday, and I brought your CD in, and we have a light room there that goes through each color of the chakras and for 5 minutes. And after the light room, I asked everyone, there was three people during the day that came through there, and every single one of them came out of there and had an experience. One lady said her fingertips she couldn't feel were tingling. Another lady said she was seeing past life experiences. And that was every person that went through there last weekend. So it's definitely some very powerful stuff, because I felt and experienced it, and everyone who I've introduced it to has also had an experience off it. So very powerful stuff. And yeah, August, thanks so much for coming on the show. Do you have anything, final thoughts or anything to say?
Just to put the word out about the instrument and, you know, the degree of intent, but not only this particular instrument, but all sound that you perceive. You know, we're more aware and more vigilant over the air we breathe, the type of food we eat, you know, nothing, you know, less than organic, et cetera, et cetera. We need to be as vigilant over the sounds that we listen to. So be vigilant, be aware, you know, refrain from judgment. Just be and perceive, and move forward with that.
Yeah, easier said than done, but we're all trying to get there.
yes, indeed. It's a place of duality and polarity. So we have to take the good with the bad, because if there wasn't for the bad, we wouldn't know what the good was.
That's right. That's right. Well, awesome. August, thank you so much. And August, you'll also be part of the Zen Festival and have the Paradigm there. And so definitely check out his website. I'll have your information up on my site as well. And with that, August, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll play one more track, and then I'll come back, wrap up. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a little bit more of Scalar.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Got it. Good night. And welcome back. You're tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And just to wrap it up, next week, John Lucas, beyondhealingjohnlucas.com. Any physical pain instantly deleted live on the air. If you have a loved one or any type of pain, fibromyalgia, please call in this show next week. And following that, we have Michael Elijohn from preparethelandings.com, also vortexnetworknews.com, ufowest.com, and channelforthemasters.com. So Mike will be joining us next week. And then after that, I got Peter Voltago from the Lumi Company and also the businessvitalizer.com, as seen on ABC, CBS, CNBC, and Fox Business. He is also the world's most sought-out business manager for Fortune 500 companies. His newest book, Business Plans from an Alien. So he'll be joining us in 2 weeks. And on July 8th, I got Paula Moran coming back on the show. And also coming up next month, we've got Mario coming on the show, Guardian of Poncho, the new generation crystal skull. And Amy coming on the show from the Star Child Project, which is a genuine 900-year-old bone found in New Mexico in the 1930s that has straight DNA from ET. There is no found DNA here on the planet, so it is a skull from an ET. So they will be joining me on the show next month as well. And that's pretty much it, Star Fam. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of time, so I got to cut it short. Much light and love, and enjoy a little bit more of DJ Scalar Starseed Energy Mix. Have a good night.